brings our way.
All right, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. And chapter 9. Tonight we're ready to begin looking at verse 3. Let's read verses 1 through 3. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a rider's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the rider's inkhorn by his side. At least this third major point that we want to consider, we've named it the glory of God removes from the cherub. The glory of God removes from the cherub. As we read that, and what were your thoughts concerning that? Did it strike you in any particular way? What was meant by that? Well, cherub would seem to be in the singular. Meaning one. If it's more than one, we say cherubim. However, in the scriptures, it's applied collectively for cherubim and or cherub. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, and two passages of scripture. Exodus chapter 25, in these two passages of scripture, you're going to find that both words are used, cherub and cherubim. And you and I wouldn't notice the difference, except you go to the Hebrew. Exodus 25 and verse 19. And make one cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even on the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. Both those, cherub and cherubims, are the same Hebrew word. No distinction between singular and plural. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. All those instances are the same Hebrew word. No variation of words. We have one more example that we want to turn to tonight, and that's in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings and chapter 6. Let's begin reading verse 23. And within the oracle, well, I thought an oracle was like the word, a word of God, another word used for the word of God, like law and testimony and oracles of God. Not this oracle. And in all of its uses, it means this. It was reference to the most holy place. Reference to the most holy place. So, and within the oracle, within the most holy place, he made two cherubims of olive tree, each 10 cubits high, and 5 cubits was the one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherub. From the uttermost part of the one wing unto the uttermost part of the other were 10 cubits. And the other cherub was 10 cubits. Both the cherubims were of one measure and one size. There are a lot of things I looked at and studied and reading across this passage of Scripture here in 1 Kings. But keep my comments to the cherub and cherubims. Same Hebrew word again. Same as back in Exodus chapter 25. Obviously, at least with this word, in the Hebrew there was no distinction as concerning singular and plural. And what determined whether they used the same Hebrew word. So how would you know whether it was more than one or whether it was only one? By the usage. The context. If the context demands singular, then it's singular. If the context demands that it's plural, there's more than one, then it's plural. But it's the same Hebrew word, you see. We have a similar in the only example I could think of, but our English language is full of that kind of stuff. We were talking this past Sunday about in Spanish, doesn't differentiate, the Spanish differentiates between male and female. There's a word. And the way it's used is concerning different things that are meant to be male and female. There's different words for that to note that this is masculine, this is feminine, and so forth. Our English language doesn't necessarily do that other than male and female, and sometimes we use men as reference to both male and female. But the only example I could think of, and it is in regard to singular or plural, But like if I would say to Brother Jesse, did you read about God's creation in Genesis chapter 1? And Brother Jesse would respond, how? Yes, I have read about God's creation in Genesis chapter 1. Well, it was the same word. R-E-A-D. Read and read. How do you know which pronunciation to give it? By the context, by the usage of the word. It's the same thing with this, with cherub. Just as a point of interest. And because it's used in verse 3, it's used in the singular, or at least the translators put it in the English singular, is it necessarily singular? And I can see why it's translated singular. Because the verse says, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was. Well, the cherubim were upon the mercy seat. Two cherubs, one at either end, was on the mercy seat. Because there are two, we would say cherubim. They said he went up from the cherub upon which he was on. And this cherubim, the two cherubs, were upon the mercy seat, which was upon the ark, which was up in the Holy of Holies. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 23, the oracle. In the oracle. And what caused me to look that up is because it said, in the oracle, well, how do you build something in the Word of God? You know, our understanding. So I looked it up, and it's Holy of Holies. This, between the cherubim, upon the mercy seat, upon the ark, in the Holy of Holies, is where the Lord spoke from when speaking with Moses and Aaron and when meeting with the high priest. Turn with me to the book of Exodus again. In chapter 40, and remember the verse we read in Exodus 25 and verse 22, he said, concerning between the cherubim, upon the mercy seat, upon the ark, is where he would meet with them and commune with them from. We come to chapter 40 of Exodus, and we're going to look at verse 35. Let's begin with verse 34. Upon the completion of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was completed. It was built according to, everything was built according to the pattern that was given unto Moses in the mount. And notice in verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God fills everything. He fills it. But he said to be seated where? Between the cherubim, upon the mercy seat. In verse 1 of Leviticus chapter 1, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake to him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Where did God call unto Moses from? Out of the tabernacle of the congregation. But where was God? Well, he filled it all according to the cloud. He filled it all, a pillar of fire at night. And there again, another thought when I was studying that is there's a more instance. Every time God appeared, pillar of fire at night in the tabernacle of the congregation, another instance like the burning bush. And not being consumed. You see. But so this is the place that God communed with them from. And he said he would, and given the instructions to them to build it. Back here in chapter 25. Look at chapter 16 of Leviticus. 16 and verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. The Lord spake unto Moses. Where did he speak unto Moses from? Now. He spake unto him from the tabernacle of the congregation, from between the cherubim upon the mercy seat. We're already established. That's where God said he was going to meet with them. He was going to commune with them from. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, the holy of holies, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. So the high priest is to go in there, but he's only to go in there at a designated time, not at just any time that he pleased, only one time a year. Was he to go in there? And then 1 Kings. Again, 1 Kings in chapter 8. First Kings 8 and verse 3. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. And those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place into the oracle of the house to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle. and they were not seen without, and they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Now there's a transition from the tabernacle. They'd gotten into the land, and for years no need of the tabernacle, but the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the cherubim were still there. And that was sacred. That was holy. Because God was said to dwell there. But now they've got the temple built under Solomon. And guess what? There's a holy place in the temple. And what belongs in the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant, with the mercy seat and the cherubim. Amen. Amen. Upon it. The place where God was going to meet with them and commune with them. We've already mentioned the fact that God was said to dwell there. It was common to Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Of course, this is automatically, you should know that this is, they're in the land. I mean, they've been in the land since Joshua. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And verse 1, again David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people that was with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims. See, they still reverence that as the place that God dwelled and met with them and communed with them. It was sacred and holy. Now, in this instance, they didn't do it according to oil. They didn't do it according to the law. And one Uzzah put forth his hand to steady the cart and touched the Ark of the Covenant, and God struck him dead. You see, he was angry over the situation. Later, David repented and wised up, and yes, we got to do it according to the law given to Moses. And the priests are to bear it, and they're to bear it upon their shoulders. And so they did retrieve it and carried it to the top of Zion. But 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. And verse 15. We read, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims. When was Hezekiah's reign? Well, this Hezekiah's reign was after Israel was divided. 10 northern tribes and Judah and Benjamin. two southern tribes. And Hezekiah was king over Judah. You see. But still, the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat between the cherubims was said to be the place that God dwelt. And of course, this the temple would have been in use by that time. And depending on whether it was a good king or a wicked king of Judah, as to whether the doors were open or whether the doors were boarded up. You see, during Hezekiah's reign, they had been opened up and worship had been restored. But then Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah 37 and in verse 16 makes note of it also. He said, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Thou, God, that dwellest between the cherubims. Where were the cherubim? Upon the mercy seat. Upon the Ark of the Covenant. You see. And then the psalmist makes mention in Psalms chapter 80. In verse 1, he said, Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. So, whether it was in the tabernacle or whether it was in the period of time between the tabernacle and the temple, the understanding, if you were an Israelite, was that God dwelt there between the cherubim on the mercy seat. You see. Of course, it was good to I read those passages particularly to show the Shekinah glory of God coming down upon the tabernacle of the congregation and dwelling there. And the Shekinah glory of God coming down upon the temple. And God dwelling there. But now, where does he dwell? Where does he dwell now? Well, in a sense, he said to dwell in our hearts, the hearts of his people, were given his Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. It is God. God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But more specifically, he said to dwell in the midst of his churches. In the midst of his churches. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, in chapter 1. Verse 10, John, the writer here, says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst.
No.
What does the word midst mean? In the middle of.
No.
In the middle of the seven candlesticks.
Daddy.
Each one. One like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool. Linen. Linen last week, the man clothed in linen. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. What was it? He dwelt in the midst. He was in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Who's in his right hand? Well, it said the seven stars were the angels of the seven churches. He has in his right hand the pastors of every church that are his. He has them in his right hand to do his work, to do his bidding. In the seven golden candlesticks, of which he's in the midst of each one of those golden candlesticks, are what? It said, are the seven churches. He's in the midst of his churches. His churches. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Wow, how precious. He's in the midst of Grace Baptist Church. He's in the midst of Grace Baptist Church. He's in the midst of the Bible Baptist Church in Plant City. He's in the midst of Faith Baptist Church, Washington. and on we could name all the churches of the Lord that we know of and are aware of. He's in the midst of them. Oh, how awesome.
Yes.
How privileged. But how full of responsibility to know that he's walking in the midst of Grace Baptist Church. And oh, how we ought to be aware of that. How we ought to take heed. And he emphasizes that here in Revelation 1 to John. And then John is to say to the church at Ephesus and to each other church, the one in their midst says this concerning you. He knows your works. He knows whether they're faithful and true, steadfast, and unmovable. He knows the things that are lacking, the things that are wanting. Well, there's more to be said about it, but we'll go on with that next week. Next week, we're going to get more in to the glory of God departing. Departing that mercy seat. Departing between the cherubim. That was his dwelling place. So I take Ezekiel 9:3 to mean he departed from the mercy seat. He departed from between the cherubim. He wasn't seated upon one of the cherubs. He was between the cherubim. That was his.